Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on PBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 21st on the West Coast, now March the 22nd on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. Before I bring on tonight's guest, Dr. Ray Truant, I'm just going to take us on a ride, a nostalgic American ride. This music is actually played by three British musicians, believe it or not, but they have an affinity for our music, which comes out of our countryside, courtesy Aaron Copland and Hoedown. We'll be right back. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer from their trilogy album, and that's called Hoedown, and it was composed and orchestrated by an American composer many of you never heard of, Aaron Copland. And many of you probably recognize that melody because it's been used from time to time in movie scores and commercials and even in concerts. I had the great fortune some years ago to meet Keith Emerson, quite a character and a fabulous musician. Didn't meet Greg Lake or Carl Palmer, the drummer, but nevertheless, the music has fallen by the wayside in recent times, and I thought I'd revive it, especially with what's going on in the world. Well, right now, I'd like to welcome back my co-host tonight. He's a regular on Evident Footprints on Monday nights. He hosts his own radio show on the Micro Effect Network, and the show is called The Story Behind the Story. He also has a website, atruot.com, and that's because his name is Dr. A. Truot. True, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome to you, Don. It's good to be on the show. My goodness, I've been I'm getting computer cramp in my neck and my arms. I've been absolutely whacking the keyboard today, I'll tell you, since 6 o'clock this morning until right now. It's been constant. I gotta quit doing this. It's not good for my health or my posture.
Well, in between snow plowing and research, I haven't done any plowing recently, but a little over a week ago. In between that and research, I've got snow plow research elbow. So it's not fun.
Well, I posted Saturday morning this piece that I've really got a lot of flack over. I knew I would. It's more than ever, my site has been the target of some pretty nasty trolls, and I can understand what they are and who they are and what they're all there for. But I've had people that have come to me that I believe are honestly questioning, and they really have a hard time wrapping their minds around the concept that earthquakes can indeed be induced and exactly how they are to be done. And so I said, well, you know, I've done a tremendous amount of research. I've got volumes and books, papers and volumes of research from Tesla. Tesla was one of my inspirations, and I was, 20 years ago, I wanted to learn all I could about Tesla, and I've got books that are kind of, it's safe to say they're rare and they're out of print. And correspondence with Tesla to people in Colorado, when he moved to Colorado and did his experiments at Colorado Springs, there was voluminous reports to the media, as well as to potential investors. Again, this is the year 1898 through about the year 1901. I have to tell you that this man just flat out was light years ahead of his time, Don. The things he had actually proved and come up with. I mean, when you turn on a light switch and you see the light bulbs light up, it's not Thomas Edison that you need to thank. It's Nikola Tesla. The alternating current, the AC structures, the power grids we have today, that's one of Tesla's little-known experiments. And, in fact, he came up with radio transmit and reception. It wasn't Marconi. No. It was Tesla.
Oh, yeah. He had even developed his wireless remote control even prior to that. So he had proven himself quite adept at a lot of things in the scientific realm. And I've always felt true that being also a fan of Tesla's work, his research, and his inventions, I've always felt that he was
creating the type of solutions to the world's problems that, had they been implemented, the world would have been at peace for already 100 years or more. And, of course, the powers that be can't have that, can they?
No, indeed. And whenever you look at, you know, I believe personally he was murdered.
Oh, yes.
Just was taken out. Much of his research and experimentation was sealed up and taken into government control. Okay, this is, again, a decade before the Federal Reserve and the boys of Jekyll Island got working. But you see, there's individuals in New York City, individuals of Jewish extraction, okay, bankers that were very interested in what he was performing and what he was doing. And you see the formation of American large corporations that really profited from his inventions. You see the formation of General Electric. You see the formation of Westinghouse. You see the really the beginnings of the military-industrialist complex forming in the turn of the century, okay, about a decade before the Federal Reserve was actually structured. It's a very interesting research thread to follow, Don. It truly is, not only for the technology, but for the beginnings of this shadow rogue government.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the power brokers literally got power from his inventions.
Yes, yes, I agree. I know we hadn't really determined what we were going to discuss tonight. I came across a rather important clip that I thought I would share, because it's going to, let's say, segue into the topic that you've just brought up, and I think we should look at things going on today in terms of what's being done about some of those things. And it's from a camp one would never even expect. If I could do that first. Okay. This clip begins with a silent quote: "The pioneers of a warless world are the youth that refuse military service." That's from Albert Einstein. I'm not a big fan of Einstein, but he did make some worthwhile contributions to the scientific community. Have a listen.
"I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank."
Well, President Obama has ordered 17,000 more American troops to Afghanistan. It's the first stage of a build-up that will eventually see 60,000 U.S. troops deployed to the country.
The U.S. president has revealed his plan for Afghanistan, escalating the war at the fastest possible pace.
"It is in our vital national interest to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan."
"When I was in Iraq, I saw the devastation that our invasion and occupation had met out upon the Iraqi people. I saw and at times participated in the dehumanization and degradation of the Iraqi people by robbing others of their inherent dignity, by denying them respect, and by treating them as a less than human other. We ultimately robbed ourselves of our own dignity, humanity, and compassion."
You roll into Baghdad, every single big apartment building is blown up. Every single apartment building in Baghdad has been broken to the ground by artillery and airplanes bombing. You cannot meet someone in Iraq who has not lost a family member. Could you imagine what we had done in America if in 9/11 everybody in America lost a family member? What would we be doing? Would we be talking about war? No, we'd be in the streets with weapons. And so people talk about, oh, these people killing American soldiers in Iraq, they're terrorists. Not terrorists, they're wearing sandals. And they got an AK. And they got 14-year-old boys building bombs to kill these American soldiers because we killed their family.
People just don't wake up and want to go kill people.
I was ordered multiple times by commissioned officers and non-commissioned officers to shoot unarmed civilians if their presence made me feel uncomfortable. The primary loyalty is not to democracy or to the flag or to America or to the Iraqi people or to the rule of law. It is to each other's safety at the expense of everything else.
There is a cost to this war, and this cost is being paid in American blood, in my soldiers' blood, and that is not okay.
From my perspective, it didn't seem to make any sense what we did. We didn't accomplish anything.
A few months after I was there, I mean, a lot of things weren't sitting right with me. The command structure, the missions that we were getting didn't make any sense. We're going after people, Mujahideen or Muj. And they didn't have any idea which ones were the right ones. We're kicking in the wrong doors, terrifying children, helicopters screaming over their heads at night. And I'm trying to calm the women and children while the men were dragged and separated out and completely humiliated in front of their families.
9/11 was a lie. I know it. We're soldiers. We know it.
And on March 21st of 2003, my military service was hijacked in an unconstitutional order to invade the sovereign nation of Iraq. This is a slap in the face to every service member who feels used because he was told he was going to go fight for his country and then was sent to go kick in the doors of innocent people unprovoked in the middle of the night to draw fire into their house so that we might have somebody to shoot back at.
If the media was not biased, this film would be shown here so that you could then make a decision. Show them both sides of the story and then let the human being make the decision whether they want their kids there or not. Don't show me one side and say it's patriotism, it's courageous. Nothing I did in Iraq was courageous. I brought fear into people's homes. I traveled with a 50 caliber weapon every single day and slept with a pistol underneath my pillow. Tell me what is so courageous about that.
And I tried hard to be proud of my service, but all I could feel was shame. And racism could no longer mask the reality of the occupation. These were people. These were human beings. I've since been plagued by guilt anytime I see an elderly man, like the one who couldn't walk, who he rolled onto a stretcher and told the Iraqi police to take him away. I feel guilt anytime I see a mother with her children, like the one who cried hysterically and screamed that we are worse than Saddam as we forced her from her home. I feel guilt anytime I see a young girl, like the one I grabbed by the arm and dragged into the street. We were told we were fighting terrorists. The real terrorist was me, and the real terrorism is this occupation.
Funding the war is killing the troops. I mean, if you really think about it, it's really, really blatantly obvious, and it's really stupid that we have to say this, but we do. We have to get down to basics. We have to break it down Barney style, as we say.
When I joined the military, I raised my hand and said that I would protect the Constitution of the United States and this people and against foreign and domestic enemies. But guess what? I did not raise my hand to protect private companies like KBR and put my life on the line so they can make a buck. When are we going to realize that people fighting in Iraq against us, they're not terrorists, they're soldiers. What would we do if somebody invaded us? I know I would pick up my weapon and fight against them. What the hell we call them? Terrorists? These people want their country back. Let's give them their country back.
I won't even talk to politicians about the war because there ain't no point in it. Democrat, Republican, they're all profiteers of war. Even lots of anti-war organizations are profiting off my brother's pain.
I'm embarrassed at the state of politics in America that it's come to that. We have to talk to Congress like they're fucking children.
We've got a responsibility to the honor of this country and to the honor of every man and woman who has served in Iraq and ever served in our military to not leave them with anything less than the honor that they deserve.
Honor? Are you kidding me? You saying that it's an honor to die in Iraq and to fight a war that we started and we're in the wrong? You're going to tell me that it's an honor to serve in Iraq when private contractors get paid $100,000 plus and drive $60,000 vehicles inside the base while soldiers are outside the base, rolling and patrolling and losing their lives? Is that honor? Are you kidding me?
Those who send us to war do not have to pull a trigger or lob a mortar round. They do not have to fight the war, they merely have to sell the war. They need a public who is willing to send their soldiers into harm's way They need soldiers who are willing to kill and be killed without question. They can spend millions on a single bomb, but that bomb only becomes a weapon when the ranks in the military are willing to follow orders to use it. They can send every last soldier anywhere on Earth, but there will only be a war if soldiers are willing to fight. And the ruling class, the billionaires who profit from human suffering, care only about expanding their wealth, controlling the world economy, understand that their power lies only in their ability to convince us that war, oppression, and exploitation is in our interest.
Our freedom comes from ourselves when we make the decision to speak our mind.
This is well within the rights that service members have, but not very many service members know that they have.
As soon as I got out of the military, I joined an organization called Iraq Veterans Against the War, which, aside from calling for full immediate withdrawal of all U.S. forces from Iraq, also calls for full support and benefits for returning veterans.
We have members across the country and overseas, in Germany and Iraq. Less than 4 years ago, there were seven of us, and today there are over 1,200. Our membership has more than doubled in the past year and is continuing to grow.
So we do have a resistance movement. We do have dissent within the ranks. It's happening for each one of us who goes public. There's probably 100, you know, who are resisting quietly.
You know, let's be brutally honest. Our leaders aren't going to end the occupation. It's going to be us that ends the occupation. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't think as a 24-year-old kid I should go to jail for not wanting to kill people.
I had a personal experience after one of the talks that I did with a man. He came up to me after that, and he told me he was an Iraqi man. And he said that he was from the area around Balad, and I was stationed in Balad. And I just couldn't help it. Just all of a sudden, I hugged the guy. And I said that I was sorry. That I was so sorry. And I ended up crying right there to this perfect stranger. And he told me it was okay. You know, he told me it was okay. And that was redemption.
To me, it's this phenomenon that we're witnessing is actually a natural evolution. And any time you organize human beings to come together to use violence as a way of conflict resolution, you will have a breakdown of that organization. Peace is not a political process, and it's certainly not a militaristic process.
I refuse to participate in the Iraq occupation.
The real enemies are not in some distant land, but not people whose names we don't know and cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and people we can identify. The enemy is a system that wages war when it's profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it's profitable. It's the insurance companies who deny us health care when it's profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it's profitable. Our enemy is not 5,000 miles away. They are right here at home. If we organize and fight with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war, we can stop this government, and we can create a better world.
There's a term, once a Marine, always a Marine, but there's also the term, eat the apple, F the Corps. I don't work for you no more.
This society is so greedy, we're willing to go to war. We're willing to go places and send these big metal machines that kill people and fuck people up just so we can make more money. I mean, I've heard it argued, and argued successfully, that our society runs on war. Mm-hmm. You know, it runs on the domination of the other parts of the world. And literally, that's the only way you can control a gigantic chunk of the globe. You have to keep everybody down. You know, and that's what our society is based on as far as our globalization, you know, schematic that's been laid out by all these Republicans mm-hmm, and all these mm-hmm. Democrats and all these people that, you know, are pretending to be our leaders and mm-hmm. pretending to look for. None of these people have had these experiences. Mm-hmm. None of these people feel connected to everybody. They're still, even the best ones are still operating within a very old, old framework. And a framework that's set up by ignorance. Mm-hmm. It's a foolish framework. The idea that it should be okay to go somewhere and engage in war to protect a society that wants to go places and engage in war. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Because you're saying, I mean, that's automatically saying that the lives of the people here are worth more than the lives of the people everywhere else. And they're all one thing. They're all exactly the same.
That clip is courtesy of Iraq Veterans Against the War. And if you want to find out more about that, you certainly can go to YouTube, where that video is posted under the title American Soldiers Are Waking Up. Support of Taking America Back. stop the robbery. So, Dr. Ott, you can see why I wanted to play that. These are the soldiers that returned back home from Iraq, and they're telling the truth, which we're not hearing from the government nor the mainstream media. And lest we forget the price that many of them, these men and women, our brothers and sisters, have paid, things will just get worse. We need to take everything in the context of what they're telling us is going on. Your comments, if you have any.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's what we've been saying since it started. 2003, I know I have been screaming about this. But, the story behind the story is, sure, yeah, these soldiers are courageous enough to stand up, but there's so many returning veterans that are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
So many are committing suicide. It's way out of proportion to the general population, and that's another story behind the story. But we need to focus, I believe, on who really sent these people in and the reasons why. It's
bottom line.
Yeah, the bottom of the bottom lines. Well, you know, the date of the Iraqi invasion, the date of the bombing began when Saddam was ousted, was the dawning of the festival of Purim, the so-called Jewish, what I call them, the Edomite story of Esther in the Bible. I mean, this is what it's about. It really is a mass murder suicide structure of these so-called enemies of Israel. And, you know, the figures of Amnesty International, I don't know how to 100% verify this, but even if they're just halfway right, they're saying over 1.5 million Iraqis have been killed. Iraqi citizens have been killed in this illegal war.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's that many or even if it's just half that many. It's still incredibly bizarre. And of course, Saturday morning was the beginning of Purim once again. And what do we see? Yet another attack on the same date of the Festival of Purim. The 112 cruise missiles sent into Libya. So the modus operandi, the so-called no-fly zone structures, it's all the same script. It's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they're just doing it like this is what we're doing. This is, you know, we just have to do this, and we decided we're going to do this, and what are you going to do about it? And that's why I feel what the soldiers had to say was significant, because we talk about this from the other side. We're not on the front lines like they are, but they all have this recurring or this consistent outlook on what's going on. They know who's profiting there. They see the corporations there. They see their trucks. They see their logos. They see their salesmen and their business reps and their managers and their privatized security forces. As the one guy said, they're making at least $100,000 a year and driving $60,000 cars around Iraq while all this is going on. I mean,
these are the Blackwater private mercenaries, the DynCorp. But we also need to say on the record that the wealth of Iraq is, of course, the oil. The Iraqi oil fields are one of the largest centers for light sweet crude in the Middle East. It's really been likened as the low-hanging fruit on the tree. And you'd think that America, American oil companies would be the ones gaining from this largesse. But the reality is it's China. This Iraqi oil is going to fuel the Chinese dragon. That's the big story here.
Mm-hmm. Now, not to change the subject, I have another clip. I think we're going to dig deeper into this. This is a much shorter clip. This is an audio clip from the vote on H.R. 8791, the Homeland Security Bill. And this is Representative John Haller from Pennsylvania, 12th District, instructing everyone as to what is in the bill. Listen to this. If this isn't disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what is.
Congress shall now vote for approval of H.R. 8791, the Homeland Terrorism Preparedness Bill. Said bill requests emergency response funding up to and including, this section is classified, dollars to prepare for a national level terrorist attack and or attack from classified. Funding for first responder personnel and vehicles would be doubled if said attack leads to more than 80% of national population being affected by classified. This funding shall commence in conjunction with the first attack on classified, or the first large-scale outbreak of classified, dependent upon which comes first. Civilian and military units shall be trained in containment and combat of classified, including irradiated classified, with possibility of classified airborne, classified flesh-eating, classified, and or all of the above, in such event as classified spewing, classified escape, are released or otherwise become uncontrollable. Air Force units may also be directed to combat said classified due to their enormous size and otherworldly strength. Should event occur in urban areas, that's classified, far surpassing our darkest nightmares. Should casualties exceed classified body disposal actions, shall be halted and associated resources shall be reallocated to classified underground, classified protected birthing centers. A new Bill of Rights shall be drafted and approved by classified. Having now reviewed the bill, I ask you to please cast your vote.
Now, true, if I'm reading this correctly, and I'm fairly certain I am, this is the whole menu of what they intend to throw at us, including reptilians.
They're superhuman strengths classified.
Otherworldly. And designated birthing areas, protected birthing areas.
Was this passed?
Yes. They voted. Well, it was entitled House Passes, so I presume it was. I didn't do any vetting. Would have been last week. They were to vote on this sometime last week. But, whether they voted on it or not, who wrote that language into that bill?
It's classified.
It's classified. between the lines, nuclear, biological, and then talking about beings, that are beyond your worst nightmares. What is that? Who is that? Is that Barney Frank and Drag?
That's classified.
Any comments about that?
Well, it's deeply, deeply troubling. Again, as we mentioned at the first of the show, the agenda for these directed energy weapons is to provide plausible deniability, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to have plausible deniability classified than to have it appear as a classified natural disaster? Okay, so you see the importance of these space-based directed energy weapons, a billion-watt receivers. And I really think it's important to, again, go to my website, atruot.com, and see what we just posted today on this subject, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of people talking about HAARP, but I submit that's not the story. Don, the story is what's going on in Colorado, in Boulder, Colorado, in these command bunkers, and in a place called Table Mountain. I found this out today, and I was just floored. I was speechless. It's right there in your face, and nobody's talking about it.
Well,
nobody.
I can tell you that HAARP is not currently being used as it has been in recent times. Now, that does not exclude chemtrails and how they might be using it with that. But they could certainly even be using other technologies with the chemtrails, and HAARP is sort of the smokescreen. But I can assure you that they're not using it for some of the events that are going on right now. That will eventually be proven. So,
well, I went on to my Google Earth site, and the USGS, this is what all led me to this today, Don, the USGS earthquake monitoring site, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of following the links, and I thought, who controls these earthquake sites? How can they be able to so accurately pinpoint the epicenter, okay, of this earthquake in Japan? I mean, you go right to it, you pull up the USGS earthquake hazards program. I pulled up the report from the USGS magnitude 9.0. It says near the east coast of Honshu, Japan. They have the exact date, the exact time to the second, to the quarter second. They have the exact longitude and the latitude numbers. Get this. The exact depth of the crust. And this is what got me. As I'm reading this, I'm saying, how can they so accurately monitor this? Let me just share with your listeners, Don, the earthquake details of the USGS site. Now, the USGS website, the logo just struck me. Science for a Changing World. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Changing World, USGS. Okay, here we go. Magnitude 9.0, daytime, Friday, March 11th, 2011, at 0500 hours, 46 minutes, 23 seconds, UTC. Location, 322 degrees north, 142.369 degrees east. Depth, 32 kilometers, 19.9 miles in the crust. Set by location program. It says region near the east coast of Honshu, Japan. Distances, etc. 129 kilometers east of Sendai, Honshu, Japan. It gives other fixes, okay? So and then I thought, well, is there the same thing on the Christchurch, New Zealand? Yeah, magnitude 6.3. Everything is the specifics are just amazingly accurate. And all down the line, I mean, any magnitude, any earthquake since 1963, it's there, okay? How about the 8.8 earthquake in Chile, the offshore Biobío, whatever you want to, how it's pronounced. Magnitude 8.8, Saturday, February 27th, 2010, 0600, 34 minutes, 14 seconds. Gives an exact longitude and latitude. What I'm getting at is, how is this all done so accurately? So I began to dig. This is U.S. State Department that has monitoring of this now, but it's a division, the U.S. Geological Survey and the National Earthquake Information Center is actually a subdivision, I found out, of the Department of Commerce. Again, Department of Commerce was formed in 1903 by the funders of Tesla. Now, follow this along and you'd be amazed. In Boulder, Colorado, you have these research centers that continued the work of Nikola Tesla in Colorado Springs. And, of course, Colorado Springs, Colorado, just happens to be what? The location of the United States Air Force Academy, USAF. Just happens to be the same, basically the same vicinity, neighborhood, as Nikola Tesla's experimental weaponry, okay, or experimental transmission. That wasn't really set up as weaponry.
No, he realized it could be used as.
It could be. Yeah. It could be. And but he wanted to use it for, you know, for good. What gets me is you start looking at these reports and digging a little deeper. You also have seen they recorded the tsunami. They record every little bit of crust shift. These are very incredible readings. So it all goes into something called the World Data Center, WDC, located in Colorado, in Denver, actually Boulder, Colorado. It's at 325 Broadway in Boulder, Colorado. So I went to my Google Earth and got 325 Broadway put in and got a complete aerial view of this incredible complex. You see, this thing is massive. It's, I don't know how many acres, how many city blocks it entails, but it's got a lot of green protective area around it. Looks like to the north and west, there's a massive cemetery there. That's kind of interesting. But as you look off the main set of buildings off in this control center, you see a bunch of what looks like some kind of transponder receivers. I mean, quite a big, massive amount of them.
Mm-hmm.
The World Data Center System. This is from the website. World Data Center System. There's a center in the USA in Denver. There's a United Kingdom center as well. That's kind of interesting.
Hmm. Now, is the address of the cemetery by any chance 322? Like
it could be.
Skull and...
It could be. Because it's right close to it, I would say possibly, yeah. The World Data Center System, this is from its own website. It says it was created, quote, to archive and distribute data collected from the observational programs of the 1957 to 1958 International Geophysical Year. Originally established in the United States, Russia, Japan, and Europe, the World Data Center System has since expanded into other countries and to new scientific disciplines. The Worldwide Data Center System now includes, it says, quote, 52 centers in 12 countries. Its holdings include a wide range of solar, geophysical, environmental, and get this, human dimensions data. Well, I don't know what a human dimensions data is.
That's classified.
It's classified. So these data cover time scales.
I had to say that.
these data cover time scales ranging from seconds to millennia. And they provide baseline information for research in many ICSU disciplines. That's the Scientific Union, International Council for Science Union, ICSU, especially for monitoring changes in the geosphere and biosphere, gradual or sudden, foreseen or unexpected, natural or man-made. Isn't that just stunning? That's the, you know, that's been going on. Then you go to the there's a subdivision. This is Department of Commerce now, World Data Center System in Boulder, Colorado. There's a subsection of this that's also there in Boulder, Colorado, and this is all an underground climate controlled underground base. We found out the
Oh, you're supposed to say underground classified, by the way.
Yeah, well, here's the division of the World Data Center. There's World Data Center for Seismology in Denver. The website said this is maintained by the U.S. Department of Interior. This is where the U.S. Geological Survey is headquartered. The WDC, World Data Center for Seismology, is operated by and co-located with the National Earthquake Information Service. Okay, here's what it says on the website. Summary of data held. Seismograms from worldwide stations for earthquakes designated IDE. Okay, that's international data. Closed as in provided for in the ICSU guidebook. Okay. Worldwide Standardized Seismograph Network, the WWSSN. They just have to have all these acronyms. It's just funny. Mm-hmm. It's data from these worldwide standardized seismograph network stations, parentheses 1961 onwards. It maintains a global database of seismograph station information. And in conjunction with the International Seismological Center, registers all international station codes. This is sent through digital data, waveform data on magnetic tape and compact discs from the USGS-IRIS, Global Digital Network. Hmm. So every time something moves on the Earth, there is this goes into the Boulder, Colorado main center. Now, I say
have a bean
this,
festival. Let's have a bean festival. Let's meet someplace and just get a bunch of people eating beans.
Okay, you're getting silly now, Don.
No, I'm serious. I mean, it's getting that crazy.
Well. What, follow this.
Yeah. What do they state their purpose of this?
Well, again, that's what I'm getting at here. You've got to follow the whole story, and that's what I posted on my website. You go back to the formation of this military-industrialist complex. This was even before World War I. These decades of proving the science of Tesla. You have United States Air Force Colonel retired Tom Bearden, who is now, you know, quite in demand as a, you know, talk show guest, coming out and again putting all the blame and all of these anomalies at the feet of the Russians. The Soviet Union started this. The Russians today are selling this technology to the Chinese and the Japanese gangsters, yada, yada. And whenever anybody starts to say that America is deploying this through HAARP, he cuts them off at the knees. Now, I'm not saying that Bearden's information on the technology is wrong. In fact, I found it to be exactly right. It parallels completely with what Tesla said, but it's not the Soviets that did this. The Tesla was not a Soviet spy. He was not working at some base in the Ural Mountains. He was working in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, Colonel Bearden. You know, the USA Air Force has their disinformation-controlled opposition going full speed on this one. And it's just amazing that nobody is pointing the finger at this Table Mountain complex. I've got pictures of the arrays, the Tesla, what's called interferometry beams. This will blow your socks off. This is what's being deployed. Frankly, it's not HARP.
Well, there's some information that number one, they're putting out this data on the size of the earthquake. Granted, it was huge. Do we know? We don't own the equipment. So we can only go by the data that's supplied to us. But I can tell you that the depth of the earthquake was at least three times what they're claiming it was, regardless of the cause. Many of the earthquakes that are occurring are to be deemed natural in cause. I'm not saying all of them, because they would jump on the opportunity. But I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of this around the Ring of Fire, for sure.
You have to go back to Tesla's models, okay? Mm-hmm. He did, in fact, induce small tremors. He showed it. He was kind of showing off. It's a little machine. It wasn't built on scale, but he showed what happened when you cross the two particle beams at a point on the Earth. It'll cause a small earthquake. A small, I'm talking two, maybe three on the Richter scale. What he envisioned was built in a large enough scale and deployed again through beaming it off the troposphere and the ionosphere and back to the Earth in reflectors, as he showed it could do all the way around the world. What he envisioned was, the Earth's crust, the magma flows, the rotation of the Earth is always going to be earthquakes, both small and large. His point was, you can live with the little ones, and that's always going to be happening. But if you can monitor these and have it into a control center, you can deploy this technology and keep any massive, devastating, killer earthquakes from ever happening. Now, I submit that's exactly what has happened, except it's not stopping the killer earthquakes, Don. There's on my website, I posted this NASA and NOAA chart since 1963, 358,000 plus earthquakes, and it graphs them into, it's a string of charts all the way across the tectonic plates of the world. The entire world is mapped. Now, the point is, you have this massive monitoring system, just exactly as Tesla outlined. You have these faults that are moving. You have these so-called swarms of earthquakes happening. Okay, that's all well and good. You deploy the directed energy scalar technology to preclude the massive killer quakes from ever happening. Now, it just appears quite evident, at least to me, that the technology can be used to, to stop earthquakes, but it can also be used for a very powerful, what shall we say, blackmail tool. I think that's exactly what's going on here. I wonder how much blackmail money has been extracted to keep the Federal Reserve, for instance, or the International Monetary Fund, keeping their policies in place. In fact, how much blackmail was actually done to keep the Federal Reserve's piracy in place after World War II?
Yes. Well, a lot of this dovetails into both of our research and the research of others as to how this infiltration of the government and takeover of science and education and religion, and then the creation of this military-industrial complex, which, by the way, Eisenhower had originally written down military-industrial-congressional complex, and it was taken out to appease the members of the House and Senate. But in essence, I also interpret his message as more of a signal to his handlers on a worldwide scale that, you know, it was sort of like him saying, mission accomplished.
Indeed. I'm not by any means here idolizing what he said. I'm just pointing out the fact that he did say it on national TV. And mm-hmm. of all the things that the message could give out, and the timing of this, the establishment of this Table Mountain field site in 1961, the timing is just right on point here. Okay, there's a 1966, December 1966 guide to Table Mountain, a field guide, mountain field site, given out for, you know, people, nosy public that might want to just nose around Table Mountain in just north of Boulder, Colorado. And it gives pictures of these arrays. These are amazing technology for back to even 1966. The introduction page has this. It says, Table Mountain field site is the principal general experimental receiving site in the Boulder area. It was originally leased in 1954 and acquired by direct purchase in 1961. The size is approximately 2.5 miles in a north-south direction by 1.5 miles east and west. As an area of approximately 1,800 acres, it is an elevated flat-top butte with a uniform 2% slope and is uniquely suited to its uses for radiation experiments. Mm-hmm. Transmissions observed at Table Mountain originate from many sources and locations, including remote field stations at the ITSA. That's the International Telecommunications Service site where they were testing these different frequencies beamed up in the ionosphere. Okay, and that's a whole nother topic, a whole nother branch of this Department of Commerce. The experimental wavelengths of these telecommunication and digital analog signals throughout the upper and lower atmospheres, okay, which is what we're talking about with HAARP. The other field stations, as said, besides those already mentioned, are located at Fritz Peak, Colorado, for aurora and air glow studies. This is 1966. Aurora and air glow studies in Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado, for elevated reception of tropospheric transmissions, ionospheric sounding, and space disturbance warning operations are made at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and get this, Anchorage, Alaska. That's the link. And to say that it's the Russians, to say that it's, to even deny that this is going on is absolute insanity. It is going on. It is what it is. And I'm telling you, I think the next step, as you said, that clip showed, Don, classified or not, the terrorists in this country are going to be, you know, need to be exposed. How dare they come out and debate spending our money and then say every other word, it's classified. This country We got to take this country back.
Well, you know, that clip is somewhat of a hoax produced by The Onion. But the point is, it underscores everything that's being hidden from us. It reveals to us what they're hiding. It is classified, isn't it? It's always classified, and it doesn't matter if it's coming from the mouth of someone in the government or the mainstream media. It's always a story. It's always spun. Certainly, what you're talking about has a history. And yes, it goes back prior to the time that Tesla developed an offshore communication system for the Navy. And they deny that was going on, but he was conducting his Colorado Springs research at that time when he did that. And I'm sure that they started developing other things with it as soon as they got their hands on the original technology. There's no doubt about that. And why not share it? You know, it's like in the voice of those soldiers, or voices of those soldiers that we heard at the top of the show. They talk about the reality of spending the money on fixing the problems instead of pretending that the war is doing that. They're realizing they've been lied to, and they're in that situation realizing that they're not protecting the country by doing what they're doing. And when we get into these international plots to destroy countries through the use of technology or to precipitate catastrophic events that appear on the surface to be natural, and in some cases, I'm sure they will be that way, but induced by the technology. Imagine what all the oil, all the petroleum that's been taken out of the earth is causing to the tectonic plates. Just try to imagine that. And they're not being honest with us regarding how much oil there is or what the cause of pollution is. While they poison us in every possible way, these things are going on secretly or maybe somewhat out in the open. And the average individual doesn't even have a clue that this is happening. Doesn't realize how these things are being used against people. And against nature. It's insane. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely insane. Well, anything else that you want to mention in this regard? Because I know you had quite a big piece there on your website. I had a chance to take a quick peek at it. And you got some people up there.
Yeah, just again, going into numerology and that, there's a lot of anomalies going on right now at the same basics, the longitudinal coordinates. If you draw a straight line from the Japan fault that slipped, you see that going on the same direct line. It comes right in just a little bit north of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in the so-called ring of fire that certain Edomite Jewish people are claiming is a systematic clockwise rotation, you can see that perhaps the next in line is north of San Francisco. Some of the anomalies that are going on there are quite severe. People that are there that I know that are communicating, if for the first time ever, they've seen funnel clouds being formed. There's very weird, strange cloud formations that just don't make any sense. One person reported that the wild birds have all quit talking. There's chirping. This is like it's eerie. It's quiet. Dogs and cats are acting real funny. Well, today is the 21st of March. It's spring, the spring equinox. That goes back again to this Purim festival, Don. Tomorrow is 3/22.
Well, yes, in certain parts of the world it is 3/22 already. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got the Skull and Bone Society, the significance of 3/22 is kind of a, well, it's quite spooky, actually. So, I'm not saying that anything's going to happen. I'm just saying that I wouldn't be at least a bit surprised if something did happen as far as another man-made earthquake. I'm quite convinced that since the Tesla technology was employed to keep certain areas of the globe safe from earthquakes, no earthquake over 6.3 should ever occur. They have the technology to monitor this. They have the technology to release pressures when they need to in different swarms. There's no reason for a major earthquake of this size. And I just want to again repeat on this 9.0 is the biggest earthquakes for 140 years of history. I mean, it just shouldn't happen, given the technology that we do now employ.
Yes. Now, I've heard it speculated by certain intuitives that the west coast of the United States was basically spared a disaster. I'm not implying that something impeded, someone or something impeded the tsunami that was on its way to the United States. That's not at all what I'm saying. But some are suggesting that that might be the case. Regardless, the end result was there was very little damage other than to some boat docks in Southern California. So it appears that if this was a natural event, many, many were lucky. Even Guam. Guam didn't tip over and capsize like Hank Johnson was worried when they added some 25,000 Marines and their dependents some months ago, if you recall that clip I played. Mm-hmm. Guam was spared. There wasn't any major island damage moving eastward. Now, what happened around Japan was devastating. The problems with, as I understand it, the problems with the nuclear reactors there are shoddy manufacturing, cutting corners on materials and design to make a lot of money on the side, as is always the case. There are some nuclear facilities in the United States that should have been built, and billions of dollars have been stolen in the process. Washington State is one such place. So this is going on all over the world. And you can see it fitting into a pattern. If you look around when you're driving down the highway, look at how many hospitals and satellite hospitals, branch offices, if you will, of the major clinics in any particular area are springing up everywhere. It's becoming like a fast food business. There are that many going up, and they're going to try to incorporate everything into, the UPC code, or the Uniform Commercial Code, and you were talking about the barcode. I wouldn't be surprised if they're putting barcodes on countries on these maps that they're using.
Just, could be.
To communicate with the computers, if that's their intention. What they're doing, what they're saying, and what's occurring are all different things. And, the intention on tonight's show was to bring out some information as to what's going on behind the scenes. As you always say, the story behind the story.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see this going? These revelations, for example, do you see people paying attention to this?
I don't know. I hope that people will start catching on. But just like your video, you know, that clip, Don, I'm here to tell you that that's just a small minority of troops, unfortunately. It's not all, but it takes one or two to start the ball rolling always. The vast majority of returning Iraqi veterans, you know, they just want to collect their paychecks and move on. You know, and I dare say a lot of these people, you know, literally get off and enjoy this killing spree. I mean, you know, there's a lot of military men that think this is a good thing, you know, to go out and cause terror and problems. I don't know just what the statistics are, but I would dare say the majority of them are supportive completely of the U.S. policies. Well, so I mean, it's good to hear the truth come out. You and I both know what that is, but golly, you know, there's nobody in the media, mainstream, pointing out Obama's lies that he made in the campaign, his campaign promises, all of the points made in that video are right on point. We know that. I just wish it would become more readily apparent to the general public.
Well, yes, you know, sometimes, you know, you have this dichotomy too, because I'm not saying we shouldn't honor those in our military, but let's be certain about what we're honoring them for. Risking their lives to enrich the coffers, as some of them described, of these corporations, KBR, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. And I'm sure they could tell us lots of stories in that regard. But in public events, you know, sporting events, for example, whether it's the Super Bowl or a Wednesday night basketball game in the NBA, they like to go through this ritual of honoring the military as if honoring the person is a stamp of approval on the actual war. Now, if this was a legal war, these guys wouldn't be saying what they're saying, or these men and women, I should say, because there were women who were also speaking the truth. So what is their axe to grind? They notice that they've come to the realization that they've basically been murdering innocent people. It's what we've been all saying along. Why aren't our soldiers protecting New York City? Why didn't they protect New York City on 9/11? Even though there were alleged exercises being conducted. I don't know if anyone even saw those exercises, to tell you the truth. It was assumed that they occurred. But they brought up some good points, that we were lied to about 9/11. They know it's an inside job. They're over there working with the same ones involved in 9/11. They know that. They've come to that realization. Now, yes, it's not all of them, but some of them have the courage to speak the truth about what's going on. And they're willing to take great risks to their personal safety and probably their families to do so. So they should be recognized for that. And it should be investigated, not swept under the rug. When this is happening overseas. Now, here we have the situations where all of our military is basically on another part of the globe. Our fighting men and women in all the armed services are doing what? They're now attacking Libya? For what? For more oil, for more control, for more power, to move us into this what they want to call a new world order. And it's all chaotic because they're the ones creating the chaos. we have to rise above that in our consciousness and come to a conclusion that something will be done about this. We have to be the ones to cause it to happen. I'm sorry. I look at man's relationship to the Creator, and I see nothing that precedes that in importance or supersedes that in importance. Any closing comments you'd like to make, Drew?
Well, again, yeah, it's just a matter of exposing what's happening in these data collection centers. You want to be a little bit of a joke here. Going back to the WDC, the World Data Center homepage, I just love how they have to have everything in the acronyms, you know, initials. This is to me, it's funny. I'll just let it go and then we'll say goodnight. It says, latest news on the new world data system in bright red letters. Please note that as of the end of 2008, following the ICSU General Assembly in Maputo, Mozambique, the panel on world data centers no longer exists, and that the world data centers will be incorporated into a new ICSU world data system in 2009. A similar procedure will involve members of the Federation of Astronomical and Geophysical Data Analysis Services. Federation of Astronomical and Geophysical Data Analysis Services, parentheses, FAGS. grouping of ICSU. In addition, it says it is envisaged that additional, i.e., non-fags, non-fags and non-WDC organizations will be encouraged to join the new WDS. I gotta say, where they come up with these acronyms when they're talking about fags and WDCs, it's too funny to me.
That's on their home page, or
yeah, it's on their home page. I'm not making this up. Involving members of the Federation of Astronomical and Geophysical Data Analysis Services, FAGS, FAGS.
Shall we leave that as your closing comment?
I don't want to. I mean, it's late at night, but you had to find humor somewhere in this. I don't know where they're getting this stuff, but it's a brave new world, no doubt about it. Technology is there. They're playing with things. And again, on my website, there's that little 2-minute clip there from the science czar about he admits in the geoengineering. Technologies are there. He's not a fan of them, it doesn't appear, but he says he does let the cat out of the bag that it's good to have them available in case the government gets so desperate that they may need to use them. That's the closing comment tonight.
Yeah, and one has to ask, for what purpose?
To keep the fags going. FAGS.
Yes.
Okay. The FAGS, the WDC panel and FAGS council members is how they discuss it here. I'm not making this up.
Well, I still have a baked bean get together or something, you know, out in the country, turn it into a rally and give them something to monitor.
There you go.
Well, Drew.
Okay. Well, good night.
It's been interesting, enlightening, and even a bit fun. Again, your website is atrueot.com or actually atrueot.wordpress.com, where they can go and read this research.
Atrueot.com will get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Just ATRUEOTT.
And the show is The Story Behind the Story, heard Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 West Coast time, mm-hmm. 10 to noon Mountain time. That would be 11 to 1 Central or noon to 2 p.m. on Eastern time zone. Thank you very much, True. You take care.
It's been fun, as always, and we'll be in touch, Don.
It'd be interesting to see what comes forth from this research. And I'll see you next week.
Okay, good night.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. Truat. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at bbsradio.com, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than forensic psychiatrist and metaphysician, Dr. Christopher Holmes. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.